Welcome to Hype episode 172. It's almost Christmas time. Yay, we're here to talk about a little bit of actually Christmas related stuff, but mostly just general entertainment, news, stories, as well as TV shows. We're going to respond to your feedback from last week and look ahead a little bit to future episodes. My name is Selena and I have Pam here with me this week. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Selena.
Are you in the Christmas spirit?
The Christmas spirit is strong in me.
Have you inherited some Christmas spirit?
I'm sure I have.
On top of your tree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the star's been there since December 1st. I am way ahead of you. Gonna bake some Christmas cookies tonight. Gonna do some Christmas wrapping.
Yes.
Gonna listen to some top-grade Christmas music. It's all coming together.
Always a good time. Mm-hmm. Always a good time. I baked some cookies today. It was wonderful. And our tree is amazing and shining and very heavy. I told that anecdote on Twitter about how we went to get it, me and my brother, and the guy, we went to, it was a really big Christmas tree. And I went to like pick up the back end because I always do that. And he was like, no. That's where the gentleman is supposed to hold the
what?
Tree. And I was like,
and you said, I am no man.
I was like, I think I'm good. And then like we were walking away and they were like, oh, strong woman. I was like, yeah.
That's so funny to me that's so stupid. This is the funniest story I've ever heard in my life. You know, I usually grab the end and I'm like, I think I'm way more like, I don't know. I hate to like subscribe to gender stereotypes, but I think I'm a little bit more, you know, frilly around the edges than you are with my fear of spiders and things like that. But but I always grab the end because it's easier to grab onto that side. So I would assume that people would be like, don't grab the top of the tree.
Yeah, I know. It was just, it was so stupid. And I was like, well, you don't know. Like, what the hell? It was so, I hate it because like, it's so insulting to assume, like, first of all, to try to gender ends of a Christmas tree is like the most ridiculous thing. But also just to assume that between me and my brother that we don't know, like, where it makes sense for each of us to grab the tree. I was just like, oh, I hate people.
Yeah.
So anyway, happy really Christmas.
So you talked about your Christmas tree anecdote. I, on the other hand, on Twitter was talking about my wrapping mishap because we bought my mom a very large present this year. It's just like, it's nothing extravagant, but it just comes in a big box and I've been trying to figure out how to wrap it. And I think that we came to the conclusion before the show started that we're just going to set it up and be like, Merry Christmas. Surprise. Maybe we'll bring the empty box to my grandparents' house. She's going to be like, this is big, but also light. What is this?
That's a good idea. I think that's a good idea. I vote for that. I think she'd be really happy to see it all set up.
And I'm going to throw a festive sheet over the box because I don't think any more wrapping paper has to die in the process of me trying to figure out if it can actually be wrapped.
No. Anyway, sorry everyone. We have a show to get into. This is not why you're listening to us.
You mean but you didn't sign up for Christmas hype?
Christmas hype.
all our Jewish friends are like, what about Hanukkah hype?
I know. Happy Hanukkah, everyone. And that's much better because it's what is it called?
An alliteration? Oh my God.
Yes, it is an alliteration.
Yay!
You are absolutely right. So anyway, before we get too far derailed, the show is gone, guys. It's too late to save it, but I'm gonna row my way back to shore here. As always, if you want to leave your comments to complain about our terrible opening to this week's show, or to say, it's okay, guys, you can't nail it every week, you can do that by emailing us, hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram at hypeablehype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can also find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypable.com. We also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/hypepodcast, where every week, for $2 a month, in addition to this show that's free, you get an extra bonus segment that's like an extended discussion about something we talk about or something that we don't get to on the weekly show. You get bi-weekly videos. You get special features when we start doing our Merlin rewatch, which is very, very soon. My DVDs are on their way, so any day now they could arrive.
Yeah. And we should also probably mention that it's because of Patreon that we're able to actually do the Merlin rewatch, because we want to put that money back into the show, and we did that by making sure Selena could actually watch it. So
that's the thing, like, you guys, thank you. So I just want to move on. Yeah, thank you so much for making it possible, because apparently, like, I'm sitting over here in Denmark, and you know, you just kind of think that everything is available online. Like, whatever you want to watch, like, you're going to be able to watch it. Merlin, nuh-uh. There's nothing. It's nowhere. It's not on Netflix. It's not on HBO Nordic. It's not available to stream on any streaming sites. I couldn't stream it. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't do anything. So literally, the only way is the DVDs, which just... Well, I guess it's fine, because it makes me feel like I'm back in time, which is... exactly where Merlin takes place. So it's like I'm in the Middle Ages. I have to watch DVDs. Like in the olden days. Anyway, we are excited to get started. And there will be more details forthcoming. There's already a little fun bonus segment up there for Patreon subscribers at patreon.com/hypepodcast. This week's Patreon, we want to say this at the top of the show, because now Star Wars is out. The Last Jedi is out in cinemas, and we assume most people have seen it, but we know not everybody has, and we've been sort of thinking a little bit about how to talk about it on the show without exposing people to spoilers that they maybe don't want to see. So what we're going to do is, this week's patron bonus discussion is going to be our Star Wars review, but as a special Christmas present to all of you, we are going to make it available to everyone. So whether or not you're a patron subscriber or not, you will be able to listen to me and Pam's Star Wars review. And this is also where, because we got a lot of emails, really long emails that go into so much depth and offer so much great commentary, as well as a couple of tweets. So we're going to put all of that into the bonus, leaving this one spoiler free and then condensing it all there. So hopefully that's okay with everyone, and we will make it very easy to find and listen to that part of the show. All right, so without further ado, let's move into How We Hype, which this week, I mean, Star Wars is out, but there's also another movie out that I feel like deserves our attention here at the top of the show.
A true Christmas classic in the making.
I mean, it's already high on my list, I'm not going to lie. So this week on Netflix, or last Friday, actually, a new Christmas movie dropped. It's called Christmas Inheritance. It stars Eliza Taylor from The 100. I'm just wondering, like, why did I watch it? It's so weird. There must be a reason. Anyway, so me and Pam both watched it. I think Pam watched it for my sake, which I appreciate, so that I have someone to talk to about it. So tell me what you thought. This is a very, very sweet little movie, isn't it?
It is, I'm actually like a closet fan of Hallmark Christmas movies, because they're always on TV, and this time of year especially. They actually also do Christmas in July, by the way, in case you want to, you know, get into the holiday spirits super early. But it's this thing that kind of started when I was living with my best friend out in Southern California. Her dad, like, you know, he works in the entertainment industry. There's like a lot of stress involved in doing that, and so when he gets home, he likes to watch, you know, things that are just very lighthearted, doesn't have to think about like news or anything crazy. And he always has the Hallmark Channel in the background. And so for the 2 years I was out there, I was just kind of like inundated with these like really cheesy Hallmark Christmas movies. And you start off being like, this is so stupid. And then all of a sudden you're totally invested in the storyline. And I think that Netflix is really smart to get in the game, because they released two original Christmas movies this year, and they've both been the talk of the town over on Twitter and other aspects of social media and stuff. And yeah, I thought that this was really cute. It was really fun to see. What's her name?
Oh, Eliza Taylor.
Yeah. I wanted to call her Amelia Clark.
Well, sure.
Anyway, Eliza Taylor. It was really fun to see Eliza Taylor do something different, because I think just because we, you know, we all love the 100, we see her as Clark, and Clark is a very specific kind of person. So I imagine it was really fun for her to kind of be able to be somebody else and get into something that's a little bit more rom-com-y. I don't know what she did before, and I think a lot of us, you know, were maybe introduced to her because of the 100. So it's really fun to see her do other things.
Yeah, she was. She's Australian. She was in, I think it was Neighbours, the Australian long running soap that they have over there. But I think she was great. Honestly, I think she pretty much made the movie. I don't think it was a very good movie otherwise, dare I say it. You know, I didn't think, because the plot is basically, you know, you go to this girl is like an heiress to this big firm, and she goes to this small town to deliver a Christmas letter, and there she meets this guy who's basically like she's kind of a philanthropist, but in a corporate way, and he's like a person who does good, but just because he wants to. That guy did not work for me at all. Like I found him really hard to sort of accept, that character. Andie MacDowell is in it too. She plays a cafe owner person. None of the other characters are like particularly well drawn. There's some good diversity in the film though, I noticed, like just in the background. But all in all, like the movie is kind of ridiculous, but I really think Eliza Taylor does such a great job. I think I read somewhere online that she's basically playing Eliza Taylor as opposed to what we see on The 100, which is so very different. And I think that kind of role really suits her as well. I think she has incredible presence, and I'm not just saying that because I'm biased, but because I really do think she does. And I think a lot of the otherwise kind of ridiculous moments in the movie really worked because she sold it and because she just, you know, made you believe it. So I think it was really cute. I think it was, I'm not necessarily a massive fan of these types of Christmas movies, but I do agree. I think it's cute that some of them are landing on Netflix as well now. And I think it's also nice that both Rose McIver's Christmas movie, she's from iZombie, and then Eliza Taylor's Christmas movie have come out and seem to be really popular. And it kind of shows the kind of audience that Netflix knows it can attract with those stars, which I also think is interesting. So hopefully there's just, she was also in Thumper this year, which I haven't seen because it's not out here yet, but it's nice to see Eliza do a lot of stuff. She's very, very talented and she can do all kinds of roles. And I would just absolutely love to see some kind of bigger comedic movie project for her, because I think she's a very similar sort of vibe to someone like Reese Witherspoon. You know, like she's just very, very likable and relatable and sweet. So yeah, thumbs up for me. And moving on now to the news, we've got some we've got a pretty solid lineup of news. So why don't you go ahead and start?
Yes, we do. First up, we have some Fantastic Beasts news. This is way better than the news that we talked about last week, I think. It's a little more lighthearted. We finally have a brand new still from the movie, and in it, we see Jacob and Newt reunited, best friends together again. This is really nice. I love them. I love their dynamic, and I think, like, you know, obviously it's just because both of these characters are just so lovable, so it's really fun to see them back in action. Definitely looks here like they're in the Muggle world, although I guess they don't necessarily have to be, but this definitely looks like, you know, a normal cobblestone street. But knowing Newt and Jacob, they are definitely not up to normal activities. So it's just really fun to see them back on screen together. And yeah, it's a really fun little picture. You can see it over on hypeable.com. Jacob's carrying a pail, so maybe they're going to feed some fantastic beasts.
Yeah, or like hunting for them in some way, like trying to catch them in the bucket or something. Yeah, I love seeing the two of them together. It's interesting though, because even just when I watched the movie last year, I thought it was a weird choice to wipe his memory, Jacob's memory, at the end of the movie, because we all knew that he was gonna come back. So it seemed a little bit arbitrary, and I do wonder if the payoff of that is gonna end up being worth it, or if they're literally just gonna go pick him up and take him with them, and then it'll just be like nothing happened. Because I do think it was that would make that whole sequence seem extremely unnecessary. But who knows, maybe there's a bigger point to all of that. I'm happy he's back either way because he's so great. And I do think it is Muggle Paris here.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little like Muggle Copenhagen, but I guess it's not.
Well, maybe that's the twist.
Yeah. It was Denmark their all along. Sends
them to Copenhagen. It was Denmark all along.
Oh my gosh. And our next story, I'm so excited for this one.
Ooh, sorry.
That's all right. Your phone is excited too. We've got our first trailer for Ocean's 8, the Ocean's 11 spinoff, all-female spinoff, / James Corden, which stars Sandra Bullock as Danny Ocean, who just gets released from prison at the start of this trailer and presumably this movie. And she meets back up with Kate Winslet's character and they decide to rob the Met Ball, where they're actually going to be robbing. And this is interesting because this is not how she's been featured on the promotional material, but it's actually Anne Hathaway who is attending, who is wearing a necklace that's like worth billions of dollars, and they're going to steal it from her. So it's interesting because there was the whole picture of them all on the subway together. There's been the poster lineup that presumably she was going to be part of the gang. And since it's called Ocean's 8 and she's the 8th, that is question, like, you do wonder, like, is she secretly in on it this whole time? Because otherwise the title doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that's a whole other point of debate. What did you think about this trailer? Full of all the women and Mindy Kaling being awesome.
I loved it so much. Yeah, by the way, congrats to Mindy Kaling, who gave birth to a daughter last night.
I didn't know.
Catherine Kaling. Yeah. Mm. She's going to be the best mom. I just feel like she's going to give the best advice.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the actual story at hand here. Yeah, this trailer's so good. On Monday, actually, WB released like a really, really quick tease for this. And it was like definitely hype worthy, but they just packed so much in here without also giving a lot of details away. I just feel like it serves to pump people up for the, like, what this movie is going to bring us. And it's just really fun to kind of really get a feel for these characters and their roles, because a still, obviously, like, a picture can say 1,000 words, and the first still we got for this and the movie poster we got for it like a month ago or so, like, those are really great, but it's just a completely different dynamic to get a trailer. And I'm just really excited to watch this in theaters this summer.
Yeah, I am too. I'm really just, this movie is going to be really good time. We talked about this last week, but it's just great how there's more and more movies, like female-led movies with teams of women doing like awesome things that aren't because they're women, and it doesn't have to be like for a man or in the context of a man. And yeah, I don't really know what else to say. This just looks really, really good. So I'm excited. And you can watch that trailer over on Hypeable.com.
We actually got another trailer that dropped this week, and this one kind of came out of nowhere, because I think, like, if you're like me, you might have forgotten that this movie was even being made, or maybe you didn't even know it was being made. But Disney, actually, up next, is set to tackle The Nutcracker, which, of course, is the famed holiday ballet, and they're doing it in a completely different little way. So they're bringing this story to life in a live-action version, and I didn't really know how I was going to feel about this. I saw the headlines about this trailer dropping later on this week, around, like, the beginning of the week. And I was just kind of like, is this movie that we really need? But the trailer just looks so whimsical, and it kind of reminds me of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And yeah, it just looks really beautiful. So if you want to check it out, it's over up on Hypeable.com as well. And it basically, what they're promising is that we're going to see the story that we know, but it's going to have a bit of a twist to it, which is really nice, because you don't want to, like, to see, like, a retelling of, you know, something that you could maybe see on a stage, or you could, like, rent out of the library and stuff like that. It stars Mackenzie Foy as Clara, who you might remember from the Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn. She played the child of Edward and Bella.
Oh, that's where I know her from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Keira Knightley is one of the Sugar Plum Fairies. So that's pretty fun. Helen Mirren is also in this, and it just looks beautiful. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the trailer yet, but it really kind of turned my frame of mind around for this, and it's coming out just in time for next year's holiday season. So it'll be out on November 2nd, 2018.
Yeah, I did see it. I do agree. I think it looks great. I did, however, feel like it looks just a lot like Alice in Wonderland, Tim Burton's. So I think it has a very similar vibe that I'm sure it's gonna be visually stunning, but it's that particular type of a very plasticky, like rubbery look, I'm not a huge fan of. Because it's weird, because when they do all that with the effects, I've noticed in some of the Disney films, it just kind of doesn't look real. It almost looks like claymation. And I'm not a huge fan of that. So I'm not like, and I don't actually know the story of the Nutcracker. Like, they were like, you know the tale. And I was like, I'm not sure I do. I don't know if that was ever a part of my Christmas tradition.
Huh.
I feel like I have a vague sense that I know what it is, but it's very, very weak.
Well, maybe they also mean, like, you might know the music. I feel like everybody recognizes at least one of the main tunes from the Nutcracker.
Is that where that one? Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I do know that
one. That's
the Nutcracker. I thought it was, I don't know. I'm kind of tired of people putting dark twists on things. I'm like, oh, not again. I'm probably not going to watch this, but it does look great.
Yeah, it just looks like really fun. And also we should point out, you know, this is traditionally a ballet. It's a Tchaikovsky ballet, and they have tapped one of the biggest ballerinas to kind of represent that. So Misty Copeland, who is amazing, will also be in this movie as well. So that's really great to hear.
Mm. All right, so moving into some TV news now, we have, this is a completely absurd story. So apparently we're in the age of not only reimaginings, but also revivals, and none other than The Office, the American version, could be coming back to NBC next year. And apparently people want the show back, first of all. But apparently NBC is looking to revive the show for the 2018 to 2019 season, which several original cast members coming back. Not, however, Steve Carell. John Krasinski doesn't seem likely to return either, since he's such a big star. And he also has another show up on Amazon. Jenna Fisher could potentially come back. Likely, we're probably looking at like Rainn Wilson, definitely, because he's like the other main. So my question is for you and for the world: who asked for this? Like, did we all just forget that after Michael Scott left, the past like two or three seasons were disastrous? Like, The Office was good. But then it started to really suck. Like, this is not a good idea. Like, 3 years or however long it's been since it was off the air apparently made people forget how terrible this show became. But I did not forget. I think this is absurd. You have thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, like, I just don't really, I don't know if we need it. That's all.
We don't. Well, no, but we didn't even need those last three seasons after Michael Scott. And when it was on the air, everyone was hating on it. It had almost no fan base. And the people who did watch it were like, hate watching it.
The heart grow fonder.
Well, it's only been like two or three years. It's right. How can we all forget?
But everybody that's excited. Well, we haven't. I don't think we've forgotten, but I think that people, you know,
we'll never forget how terrible it was.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like when you think about Community, right? Community had some really good seasons, and then you remember the really crap seasons that they had, like, right towards the end when they were, like, pushing to make their sixth season. You know what I mean? But, like, you don't want to automatically think of that. You just want to think of, like, the good, like, three seasons the show had. And I think maybe the Office falls into that same pit for people where, like, they don't want to think about, like, how bad things were. Although that is the objective way to think about it.
But you know what? It just makes me kind of sad because, well, not sad, but, like, it's, I know that, like, sometimes reasons for canceling shows are, like, not what the fans want, but, like, what the networks, like, sometimes they make mistakes. I'm totally in agreement with that. But this almost seems like The Office went on and on and on too long. And now they're basically just using the revival thing as an excuse to, like, give a show sort of a second wind. Like, it's almost like an extended hiatus, right? So we could potentially looking at shows that they got quote-unquote canceled, but the network was just, like, holding on for like 2 years, and then the nostalgia meter would already be full, and then they could milk like a few more seasons out of it and people would watch it because they were like, oh, it's coming back, as opposed to, oh my God, is this show still on? And that, oh my God, I don't, if that's what TV is turning into, then I don't like it. I think that's kind of upsetting, honestly, like just for the state of TV, because like not only do we not need more Office, but the past seasons were like actively bad. And I think it's different from Will and Grace, which is the last one that they did. And I know that's been doing fairly well, but that was genuinely a revival, you know, that had been off the show for 10 years or off the air. So, yeah. Anyway. Also, because who's even coming back? Like, it's not a reboot. It's like a continuation, right? So who's coming back? Dwight? Angela? Oscar?
I don't know.
Can you build a show from that?
That's a thing. Probably not. But I think, and I think this is a little too premature for the series. You know, which is basically what you've been saying. It's just, maybe in 5 years, in 10 years, it would be a little bit different if they could get everybody back. But like, so many of these people are so busy, you know, doing other things. It's like, and for them to be like, oh, we're going to start on this really soon, the odds of getting your favorites back are slim, basically.
Right. Who even is your favorite? Like, okay, aside from Michael Scott and Jim and Pam, who do you like?
Let's see. I guess Dwight was always good for comic relief, but like you said, he's like, he can't really hold a show on his own.
No.
Dwight is what he is because of the people he interacts with. And a lot of that is, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to bring BJ and Mindy back, you know, because they were not even really there the whole time. You know, it's just like, I don't know.
None
it's hard.
Of them
I
wouldn't even. Character material. And the people that they brought in to replace Michael, like, what's his name? That terrible, not funny, Ed Helms. Wasn't that funny. And what's her name, who's on Kimmy Schmidt now, she wasn't that funny in that show. Like, she just didn't work. Like, the humor, it was too absurd. A lot of the people that they had in to act like weren't really like actors. Like, they were brought in as extras and then they were kind of promoted, and it's such a weird, it never worked without Michael Scott, and I really don't see how it's gonna work without like most of the, or many of the rest. Like, yeah. Anyway, we don't need to like harp on about it, but I this is the weirdest story.
It is a weird story. I totally agree. This one came out of left field and I almost didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, well, here's something that's, if you're not excited about this, I don't know what to do with you, honestly. Issa Rae has been killing it the last few years, and specifically on HBO, where she has got the wonderful Insecure still running. But she actually, when she signed up with HBO, she signed a contract. What is the name of this contract? She signed a first look producing deal with the company, basically. And so as a result of that, she's actually in the process of developing two more shows for HBO. And both of these sound super, super cool. The first series that she's working on is titled Him or Her, and it's going to be a single camera half-hour comedy. The series is going to center around the dating life of a bisexual Black man and just the different situations he finds himself in while on the dating scene. It sounds, you know, like, I don't think we've ever really seen anything like that before from that specific perspective. So that's really exciting as well. And the second series is actually a 1 hour coming of age drama, and it's called The Sweet Life. It's set in Windsor Hills, which many akin to be kind of similar, like, a lot of people call it the Black Beverly Hills. So it's a lot of affluent people of color living in one place. And it's going to revolve around a group of teens and their experiences growing up in that neighborhood. So it sounds like both of these shows are like really, really cool. I'd be interested in checking out both of these. And being with HBO, I think like on a premium cable network, you have the ability to push the envelope a little bit more than you would maybe on a regular cable network.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of nice to know that they're giving her the tools that she needs to make these projects really, really great. And if they're anything like Insecure, then they're going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, Issa Rae is just, I'm so glad she's getting the acknowledgement and sort of influence and creative power that she deserves. You know, this is just so wonderful to see that she's being recognized. And it's nice, you know, because we know there's a lot of talented people working online, sort of just doing their thing. And Issa Rae was one of them. And now she's just like this big producer, actor on HBO. And I love it. And I think particularly the first one is really interesting because I think, you know, not only does she have the power to sort of bring stories to life that you don't usually get to see, like her Insecure is such a great example of that. But also, like, bisexual black men might be one of the absolute most not represented groups of people in Hollywood. You know, like, first of all, like, I think bisexual men is something that is hardly ever touched on. And I have a couple of theories about why that might be. I'm not going to share them here. But yeah, it's a very, very sort of almost taboo topic. And I think one of the only ones we know is the one in I don't remember his name, the one in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and that in itself is a huge thing, and he's white, so this guy is going to be black, and he's going to be bisexual, and he's going to be dating. I'm so excited to see this. There's literally nothing like it on TV, so good for Issa Rae, and the other comedy sounds really good as well. I'm just loving everything she does, so yay, big yay. And our final story of the news roundup, not too much news to get through this week, but I wanted to end on the 100th story. I always try to do that whenever I can. And there's finally some news. Is it the trailer? No, it's not. But it is some casting news. A few months back, we sort of broke three consecutive stories about three characters from the prison transport Eligious, which is coming back to Earth after 100 years stranded in space. Everyone's been in cryo sleep. It's basically people from our time coming to the post-apocalyptic future. It's pretty wild. And there's a fourth character now added, played by Mike Doped, excuse me, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He has been in such shows as Arrow and Power, a couple of other CW shows. And this guy, his name is Vincent. He sounds terrifying. He has an overly polite manner that actually kind of obscures the fact that he is a ruthless serial killer, terrifying enough to keep even the worst of the criminals on their toes. He looks like a professor, which is just terrifying to me. Oh my gosh, I'm already afraid. And it was Deadline that broke this news, by the way. He's going to have a key recurring role, so we can expect to see a lot of him. And something I noted in my article that I think is really interesting is that actually we already kind of thought that we had the season's big bad in William Miller's Robert McCreary, who is also described as ruthless. He is a former enforcer from a powerful crime syndicate whose violent methods make him a formidable antagonist to our heroes. So we're kind of looking at two characters now, Vincent and McCreary, that could potentially be working together. One could be like the thug of the other, potentially, probably Vincent of McCreary. Or they could be rivals for control of the prison population, which could open up for some interesting sort of tensions within Eligious itself. Either way, I think it's really interesting. It sort of gives me very strong Mount Weather vibes. I don't know if you kind of get those as well, but we also had several quote-unquote villains working at different levels. What do you think about this?
Oh, I love this. Yeah. I mean, we talk a lot about how The 100 is, a lot of it is centered around people and how they interact with each other and how it influences them to do what they do. So it's really exciting to hear that they're going to have somebody else to kind of interact with. And all of their villains are always very multi-layered. So I'm sure they'll do a good job writing him.
I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid.
Because it's going to be great.
Yeah, but who is he going to serial kill is what I'm worried about.
I don't know. I don't know, but it'll be a fun dynamic, I think. Like, it's kind of something that we haven't really seen. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So these types of villains are something brand new to the world of The 100.
Yeah. Not like we haven't ever seen serial killers, but we haven't seen serial killers in The 100, per se.
Right.
Not ones that are labeled that way. We've seen people that are hell-bent on genocide. But we, yeah. But we haven't really seen like somebody that just basically, well, serial killers usually they thirst for blood because they just want to kill people. So that's completely different. And usually they're not redeemable. So it'll be interesting to see how they make people sympathize with him, or if they decide not to make people sympathize with him at all.
Yeah, and this might be the one that they don't. You know, and it is funny because that's the thing in the world of The Hundred, because it's so removed from our own. They have nothing resembling, like, a serial killer is not a thing in that world because they exist under such different conditions. And I know there's been a lot of debate in fandom about characters that have killed multiple people. And people are saying, well, you know, they are murderers, they are serial killers, for lack of a better word, but it's always felt a little bit wrong because in the context of the world they live in, that's not, they haven't been running around sneakily like choosing their murder victims and killing them and hiding from the law, because there is no law, so there's no such thing. But these guys, again, they're coming from a world that really resembles the one we live in now. And the rules that have put them on this prison transport ship, the government, the law enforcement, have judged them in ways that we can understand. It's just going to add such a different... I can't even imagine. It's going to add such different dynamic to the show. But I'm very, very much looking forward to it. I did also want to add, by the way, that I am, as some of you guys maybe know, I'm attending the 100 convention in January called Unity Days in Vancouver. I'm speaking on a panel there for Haibu Bowl. I'm very, very excited about it. And they just added a couple of new guests. And showrunner Jason Rothenberg is actually going to be there. So that's going to be interesting, like a showrunner at a fan convention. That doesn't happen very often. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Maybe I can finally get my interview.
That's so cool that he's going. I know, right? No, I think that's really cool that he's going, though, because, like, the possibilities that it opens up for him.
For me.
You know. but I mean, like, it's just because, you know, not that... How do I say this without sounding mean? It's just, like, I think it's, like, that's a bit of a show of bravery, because obviously, like, while people love The Hundred, there are people have problems with it, and it's really cool that he's going to open himself up to questions about, you know, decisions that he's made or decisions that he hasn't made. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I hope that you get your interview.
Most importantly, of course. Yes. Well, we'll see, I guess. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the news, and we're going to move into TV show of the week. I haven't seen anything this week. I've been too busy Christmasing and Star Warsing. So what have you been doing, watching?
I have been playing catch up on all my TV shows and started with Riverdale because it's the one I'm least behind in, and finally caught up with the last two episodes of this mid-season, this first half of the season. They finally revealed the identity of the big bad, and it was cause for much debate a few weeks back online, and like many of you, I was a little unenthused by the big reveal, so... But they've set up some interesting aspects of our main players for the second half of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how they move forward with what they have kind of started to introduce. I'm also really like interested in Jughead and FP's relationship. His father is now out of prison. So kind of seeing them interact now that Jughead has decided to join up with the Southside Serpents, which is a life that his dad never wanted for him. It's just really intriguing to me. So we'll see how we fare with the rest of the season.
Yeah. Okay, so let us move swiftly along into listener feedback. We have a couple of non-Star Wars related things to get into before we move into our bonus discussion about Star Wars. So let us start with the tweet. Do you want to get the first one?
Sure. This one comes from our friend Yuki, who says, just waiting for Pam and Selena to release their Star Wars episode. Like, I know you guys have lives, but I'm all caught up on hype and I need more. That's awesome.
Now.
Soon, Yuki, soon.
Yes.
Before Christmas.
Yay. Laura Morrow says, so I have been watching Once and I really love it. Some of the characters' true identities are so shocking and I love a good villain origin story. On Tamora Pierce, she says, I do agree with Selena. The Wild Magic series was not my favorite Tamora Pierce series, but I am excited to see her write story about magic school. You know, actually, like, not to thread too much into this, but I actually really did like Wild Magic a lot. It was just like the romance that I didn't appreciate. But I mean, it's not as good as the Alana one, obviously, but it might actually be my second favorite because I just love Dane and I love her animals and I love the story of how she kind of goes and like she visits a lot of different places in the world. It's a very expansive story. There's a lot to love there, if not maybe necessarily the romance, which is just, it's because it's such a huge age gap. I think as far as I remember, she's like 12 or 13, 14, I think she is. And then she meets what's-his-face and he's like in his 20s and it's just kind of rubs me the wrong way, you know? So, yeah.
Ashley Barnes says, Eliza Taylor in A Christmas Movie as a rich blonde party girl is hurting my head. I keep thinking, what the heck is Clark doing?
You know, oh, man. Same.
Alternate universe.
I know. I actually did have a thought that obviously, like, I can separate the character from the actress. But I did have a thought that in the beginning of the movie when she was at that party, I was like, well, you know, could this have been her life in the Ark? Like, you know, I was thinking, like, was this what she was like? Because we know she was an upper class person, right? So presumably her life would have involved some functions like this. I'm like, how fun would it be if some kind of reveal, like, exposed her as having been this quote-unquote princess that Bellamy keeps calling her now? Like, that would be interesting. Anyway, that's probably for the fanfic world, not for this show. I'm sure the crossovers are already happening. Moving on to our final tweet from Kathleen, who says, hype for the win again. Younger is so great. I can't stop watching. I haven't missed yet with your recommendations. # binging. # not 26 anymore. Well, who is?
Yay! I love Younger. I'm so happy you're enjoying it, too.
I'm so excited to finally watch it. It's not available on any platforms that I have access to, but
naturally.
Do you feel like this is becoming a more common problem for me? I feel like it's never
been
this
bad. Yeah, I feel like my eyes are wide open now to the struggle. Because we forget the entire world is not just comprised of, like, the United States, UK, and Australia, which, like, get most things, you know? Like, 90% of the things. And then Europe is, like, so much more vast. And poor little Denmark over there never gets anything.
I know. We have, like, our own stuff, but I'm not that interested in it, unfortunately. Anyway.
Is it a form of, sorry, not to derail, but is it, like, a form of protectionism, though, for culture and stuff? Because I know that, like, France is very similar, at least from what I remember of international relations, where, like, they, in order to import movies, like, from America, for example, they have to release a certain amount of French-made movies Like, it needs to be a good ratio so that they don't lose touch with who they are and their own artists.
Yeah, it's both. It's rights and it's protectionism. I think for movie releases, that's why some of them are held back and some of them are not released at all. It's because they have to make room for the big Danish productions that are released and in Nordic Scandinavian productions. But it's also a rights thing. And particularly when it comes to television, it's really sort of arbitrary which rights are distributed. It's like if a TV channel has the right, then it can't be distributed on a streaming service. If Netflix has it, we usually get it right away. So we're like very lucky in that way. And, you know, like some of the Hulu shows go to HBO Nordic. Some of them go to Netflix. Some of them go somewhere else, you know. So it's very sort of a complicated game that they're playing. But it just feels like it's being more and more divided now and more sort of segmented. So, but maybe that's a discussion for another time. So we have a final email here from Elizabeth. No, that's not right.
No,
Alejandra. I was so close.
Should I grab this?
Yes, please.
Okay, Alejandra says, hi, ladies. This is my response to J.K. Rowling's statement on Johnny Depp. My biggest take on it is how disappointed I am in her. She's a person who has a lot of power in her words, and she has now used these words to hurt the people that devoted themselves to her and her work. I've not been someone that has completely followed her responses to many issues she is passionate about, and the ones I have seen I don't always agree with, but this is something that I did not expect from her. Like you guys mentioned, she taught us that sometimes the best thing to do isn't the easiest. I want to imagine that there is mounds of paperwork and contracts that are keeping her from changing casting, but the fact that there is... But the fact that she has said she is genuinely happy to have Johnny Depp play a major character in the movies makes me believe that this is not the case. The Wizarding World can survive without a Depp, but it cannot survive without Rowling. She has the power to change what can be changed and add or take away elements that she sees fit. She is a woman in a strong position of power that with pen and paper can minimize how much Depp is involved in the franchise, even if she cannot cast him out completely. She has told many people that her world will always be a safe space, but that world is starting to crumble for many fans. Her response, along with Yates and Warner Brothers, has to me shown the fans that our opinions matter very little when they believe that they can still make money out of this film. Like you guys, I am not a person that will say I won't watch the film, but I may hold off on it for a little while. I hope one day they can make up this disservice to the fandom. Alejandra.
Yeah.
I just want to say really quickly, like, you raised some really good points, and that's not what I want to comment on, but I just really, the thing that I hope people take away from this is that even if your heroes start to crumble before your eyes, you shouldn't let the impact of what they've created be less, because you can still find power in things that made you feel strong, and I just don't want, like, this to tarnish what the original Harry Potter books meant for so many people. You know, because I think that you can still, we talked about this too in our sexual harassers discussion on Patreon. It's just like you can still find power in characters that give you strength in fiction. So regardless of J.K. Rowling's words, I hope that that doesn't, you know, make people feel weak when they think of, you know, all of these characters that have given them strength.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true. I think that you raise a really good point. I also think, you know, we talk a lot about, because online, I think it's really easy to sort of sometimes condemn people for like one particular aspect. Like we talk about a lot about the fact that people are many different things and sometimes conflicting things. Sometimes people are, and they can have conflicting opinions as well. They can have one opinion on a Tuesday and another on a Friday, and they can sort of display different aspects of themselves and be like, that's humanity. Humans are complex. They're not just whatever you can sort of condense them to based on what you know about them from social media or from like one decision or the three decisions that they made or whatever. And we talk a lot about it in relation to sort of maybe good people having done a bad thing, or like quote unquote bad people having done a good thing, or like whatever the hell, like it's always sort of more complicated than just narrowing it down. And I think it goes for time as well. Like I think when we talk about J.K. Rowling and how disappointed we are with her for this particular decision, first of all, she can still be a lot of good things, even if this particular statement and reaction sits very, very wrong with us. But I also think we have to remember that, not that I want to say anything bad about her now, because I don't think that's constructive. And we have to remember she's not the one who, like, she's not Johnny Depp and she's not responsible for Johnny Depp. And we can't hold, you know, like what I'm trying to say, like it's tough when we start holding the women to a higher standard than the men, because it's, in the cases where the men are the problem. But I also think you have to remember that the context in which she wrote Harry Potter, the kind of values she was instilling in that series at the time she was writing it, and just based on the kind of values that she wanted that series to promote, like that does not have to be tarnished by her handling of the Johnny Depp situation now. You know, I honestly think that both can be true at once. Like this can be a terrible, disappointing thing, and the Harry Potter books can be uplifting and empowering, and they can come from the same person, you know? So I don't know if that made any sense, but I really do. I really do think it's possible to hold both at once.
And I also think that, like, obviously J.K. Rowling owns the rights to Harry Potter, but once you read something, you take ownership of what that means to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what one storyline might mean to an author could mean a completely different thing to the person that's reading it. Dave Grohl says something that is, I'm paraphrasing, but he says that something like, that's the great thing about music. You can sing a song to a group of people and they'll sing it back for 1,000 different reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's very similar to reading something that touches your heart or your mind. You know, you take out of it something completely different than the next person. And I would say just hold on to that and don't let your bitterness over this particular thing make you feel like you can't still love or look back in fondness on what Harry has given you.
Exactly. And that seems like a good way to round off this show. It wasn't too long this week, but we do have our Star Wars discussion yet to come. And that will be available to everybody on Patreon, which is patreon.com/hypepodcast. Details will be on Twitter and in the Hype post once it's uploaded. It won't be uploaded straight away, but we'll let you know as soon as it is. And if you do want to send in your feedback about anything, you know, come like in the next couple of weeks. You know, Star Wars will have been out for a while and we can start sort of tentatively bringing it into the main show in terms of feedback and discussion and stuff. But for now, we do want to keep it completely spoiler free. But if you do have any Star Wars thoughts that you didn't get to express, or if you have thoughts on anything else we talked about, anything you want us to talk about, any books you want us to read or shows you want us to watch or movies you want us to see or anything like that, you can send us an email, which is hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at hypeablehype. You can leave a comment on Hypeable, which is hypable.com, in the podcast section under 172. You can find us on Instagram at hypeablehype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can, of course, go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/hypepodcast. Until next week, have a wonderful Christmas. If you celebrate, have a wonderful week and weekend. If you don't, my name is Lena.
And my name is Pamela.
Goodbye.
Bye.